Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Bill McCormick of Digital Sales, and he's here to talk about LinkedIn. I met Bill at a Chamber of Commerce event. So before we get started talking about LinkedIn, Bill, let's talk a little bit about digital sales. What's your company all about?
Sure. Thanks, Cynthia. It's great to be on. So digital sales is all about helping people to leverage LinkedIn to build better and stronger business relationships. I have a background in sales. My wife and I also own a promotional products company called Team Creative Connections, and we were able to use LinkedIn to build our promotional products company. In just 5 years, we've been able to attribute back over $300,000 of closed business from LinkedIn being part of the sales process.
Wow. So basically all your transactions are done through LinkedIn?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. What it is using LinkedIn to be the place where we find the people we need to connect with, that so that we can get more business, we can obtain more business. When I say being a part of our sales process, basically the way that we get new clients is either by finding them on LinkedIn or being referred to them by other people we do business with.
So, would you say that everybody who wants to succeed in business should be on LinkedIn? And what percentage of people are actually on LinkedIn and using it to their advantage?
Well, I'd say definitely anyone that's in business today should have a presence on LinkedIn, and not just a profile, but actually a presence being used, you know, using LinkedIn to show people who you help and how you help them. I don't know percentages, but I do know some numbers. There are over 500 million users on LinkedIn representing over 200 countries. And in the United States, there's 133 million users, and that's up from 105 million users just a year ago. And what they tell us is that a new person joins LinkedIn and creates a profile every 2 seconds. So it's becoming really the place. Yeah, it's becoming really the place for business people to gather and to find out information and to get to know each other and get to know their businesses.
Why do you think LinkedIn is so important? What features does it have that other social media platforms do not?
Well, the largest one I'd say right now is full video. Video is becoming a huge asset in today's workplace and in today's sales force. And so LinkedIn actually is the only social media platform right now that will support full video. And so that's a huge benefit. But really what I see is it's really kind of like the water cooler of the day. It's a place where people can come and find each other. You know, we've had a few instances where we've had some clients or some potential clients actually change jobs. And in today's world right now, we live in a very in a society where people change jobs very often. And what we forget is that when somebody leaves one job and goes to another, all of their email contacts typically are left at that other company that they're leaving. And so when they come to their new company, it's like they have to start all over again. And we've actually had people that have done that and have actually reached out to us on LinkedIn because they know they can find us there. It's kind of this common place where people can come and gather and connect with each other on a business level.
What was it about LinkedIn that you thought, this is going to be the vehicle that I'm going to use to be successful? What drew you into LinkedIn?
Well, we actually kind of backed into it. My wife, when we started our business in the summer of 2013 and then moving in 2014, there was somebody said to her, hey, you know, you should really be on LinkedIn. We didn't know why. And in fact, there's a lot of people out there today who people are saying, hey, you need to be on LinkedIn, but they don't understand why. And so my wife created a profile, and someone she was connected with changed jobs. And they went from being the marketing person at a bank to being the marketing person for a business development agency. And she congratulated them. And they then in turn on LinkedIn contacted her and said, hey, yeah, thanks for congratulating me. I need promotional products. And they typically, that company ends up being typically every year our third to fourth largest company in sales. And so we recognize the value. And then when I came full-time in 2015 and began really being the salesperson for our company, what I did was I used LinkedIn as a place where I could go and find the people I wanted to meet, find the people that I wanted to say, okay, this is the person who's the decision maker for buying promotional products in this company. And I would use that information and put that into my sales process to send that person some information and meet with them and connect with them. And so that was kind of the first part that showed us the value of LinkedIn. And now what we've seen several years later is it's a great way for us to stay in touch with clients and with potential clients, to the point of there was a client we had that we had done business with her. She moved to another company, but that company was using someone else. And because I was able to stay in front of her, meaning I was putting content out on my LinkedIn page that she saw on a regular basis, about 18 months later, when she decided she was going to start purchasing promotional products from someone else, she contacted me because I was front of mind. So it's a great opportunity that we see for businesses to stay out in front of their clients and their potential clients on a regular basis.
Social media has leveled the playing field where somebody who wants to be successful, meet people, social media is the place to do it. So were you in business before social media, and has it changed the way you think and act?
Well, I actually was not involved in business before my wife and I started our company. In fact, I was in public service. I was a supervisor at the Ulster County 911 Center down in Kingston, New York, and I had been doing that since 2002. But I had a sales background from many, many years ago. And so when my wife and I found ourselves in the position we were and we had to start our company, because I had the sales background, it made sense for me to come on as a salesperson. A funny note here, when I was a salesperson way back before social media, I was fired or demoted from every sales job I had. I was not very good at it because back then it was really more about, I kind of talk about, you know, being the typical car salesman and, you know, what can you do for me and striking deals. And I wasn't that kind of a person. What social media does, I believe, especially today, is it gives anyone the ability to put their thought leadership and what they know about their product or service in front of a very wide variety of clients. 30% of our business is on the island of Bermuda, and we wouldn't have that level of business there if it wasn't for LinkedIn and for the ability for us to connect with people down there and then go and meet with them. So, yeah, I believe that social media – has really leveled the playing field. And what it's allowed to do is small companies like mine, it puts us at the same level as much, much larger companies because it gives us the access to so much more information.
Now, one of the things that I found, and tell me if I'm wrong, a lot of times a connection is made when you see them face to face. Like you and I had met at a Chamber of Commerce event a few months ago. So how is connecting connecting with people digitally, more of a problem than if you meet them face to face. How do you overcome that?
Well, I think that each situation loans itself to having problems. I think it all depends on what your attitude is in connecting or meeting someone. When I first got into business, I was kind of the quick draw McGraw guy with his business card at a networking event or a chamber event. I just wanted to hand out business cards because I thought, hey, if I give you my business card, you're going to call me for business, not realizing the importance of having context and having a personal connection with someone. And I think the same thing happens, and we're really seeing it on LinkedIn, where people are connecting with anybody, and they're sending connection requests kind of haphazardly without any kind of a strategy. And then if people are accepting that connection request, they're immediately sending this sales message about how much you need my product or my service. And that's really the wrong way to go about it. I liken it to, you know, if you were to get a connection request from someone and had no context of how you knew them or why you should connect with them, it's really not unlike you getting a wedding invitation telling you that next Saturday there's a wedding up at the Sagamore and it's from 2 to 6, and here are your selections for what your meal's going to be. Please RSV by tomorrow, but it doesn't tell you who's getting married. And so you don't know if you really want to go or not. And it's the same with connection requests on LinkedIn. What I tell people all the time when I'm teaching them is, if you don't have a context for connecting with someone, don't connect with them. If you can't reach out, for example, after you and I met face-to-face, I reached out and said, hey, it was great to meet you at the chamber event. I think it would make sense for us to add each other to each other's networks here on LinkedIn. But if I hadn't met you, and I had just reached out, what would be my context? I really wouldn't have one. And I think it's the same when you meet someone face-to-face. Rather than just going in for the sale, so to speak, what you want to do is get to know them and get to know what they do and get to know them more on a personal level. So then maybe from that conversation you can develop some context to have a further conversation about how you can each help each other.
I joined the Chamber of Commerce just a few months ago, and my feeling, and I'm probably wrong, is when you go to an event and somebody hands you a card, it's not like they want to build a relationship with you. It's like they're looking at you as a potential client or somebody potential who will buy something from you. How do you get over that kind of mentality?
Well, I think that those of us that are in sales, we're the ones who have to get over that. We have to recognize that when we're approaching people, how we're coming off, and especially if we're coming to give a card in order to get a sale, that's really the wrong way. I think what it needs to be about is how can we help you and how can we assist you? And because what they say is, on average, every person in business has about 500 contacts that are at their disposal. And so if you and I are in a room with eight other people, so there's 10 of us in the room, that's 5,000 contacts that are there. And so that's what we need to start taking advantage of, is how we can make connections between people. You're always going to have those people that are involved in sales that are kind of the go-getters and really the aggressive types that are always going to be kind of out for themselves. And so I don't think we'll ever get fully away from that. But I think for me, what I want to do is, how can I connect with you on a personal level and see what your needs are and see how I can help you? If some business comes out of that that's going to come my way, that's great. But that's not my original meaning and original reason for getting together with you. You know, to get the reason for getting together is to find out how we can help each other. And I think in today's world, it's more about collaboration than it is just going after someone and getting a sale.
Now, I've gone to a couple of the chamber events on Friday morning where, you know, there's a group of people that sits down at a table and they give a 2-minute pitch, then they hand out cards, and then there's really no way for you to connect with that person at that table. And I find that just as daunting as trying to connect with somebody on a social media platform. That's something that people have to learn how to overcome. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with you. I believe that the Network by Nine events are fantastic events. I've been in several different chambers, and I found those events to be the most fruitful in that you get in. First of all, the one I've only gone to one, and it was the one, I believe, back in April at the Colony Center, and I was really impressed with the amount of people that were there. There were a large quantity of people, and everyone was there for the same reason, which was to network. I find a lot of events that are done, especially after hours, people are really there more for the social aspect than they are for the networking aspect. But what mm-hmm. I found fascinating about the Network by Nine idea was that you got in front of a number of different people, you know, between two different tables. I think there was 5 to 6 people at each table. So you came right. away from that with a number of contacts. And it's really what you do after that, whether we're talking about connections on LinkedIn or we're talking about an in-person networking event, it's what you do with those connections afterward that really is gonna give you some fruit or give you some benefit. And, you know, like you reached out to me and we set up this, and it's taken us some time because of travel and sickness and stuff for us to get it down. But that was fruitful. And I think what I've done with a number of those situations was I reached out and I connected with those people on LinkedIn. And then I said, hey, how can we take this? And what I say in my training all the time is taking connections from the digital space to the face-to-face, because that's really where business happens and where connection happens. So there are a number of people that I've met over coffee and just asked them some questions about, hey, you know, why do you do what you do? What is it that you do, and have been able to actually make some connections with people. Another great thing that the chamber offers is something called the business referral group, which are smaller groups of people that meet twice a month, and they're able to get to know each other on a more personal level. There's other larger mm-hmm. networking groups, BNI, Business Networkers International. There's several up in the capital region. And that's a place where you get to know people, again, on a more personal level. It all takes effort. You know, one of the things that the internet has kind of given us this false idea of, and social media has given us this false idea of, is that all I need to do is have a LinkedIn profile or a web page or a Facebook business page, and I put that out there, and all these people are going to knock at my door, and they were going to want to do business with me. And that's just not the truth. It still takes getting out in front of people, talking to people. You know, it's called, a friend of mine who does a lot of Facebook work, his name is Ed Weeks from HV Social Media. And what he says is, you know, it's called social media for a reason. You can't forget to be social. You know, you have to reach out. You have to talk to people. And I think that that's some of what's missing in today's world, where people are kind of counting on the social media thing to take care of their business, rather than seeing it as a tool that they can use to leverage to meet more people. So I think it really all comes down to – Go ahead, I'm sorry. I think really what it all comes down to is the connections that you make in whatever networking event you go to. You have to follow that up with an in-depth conversation over coffee or over dessert with that person on a one-to-one basis.
Now, I've been doing Focus on Albany for almost 6 years, and I'll meet somebody at an event, or I look at the newspaper, or I look at my Facebook page, and I follow what's going on. And if there's something I like, I'll try to find the contact information and call that person or email that person. And then I'll say, you know, I do a podcast focused on Albany. I'd like to have you as a guest. It's not like I do a podcast every now and then and just put it out, you know, for the universe. I work hard at building connections.
Mm-hmm. And that's important. And you know, like I said, that's really what is going to separate someone. For example, when I teach my LinkedIn class, I tell people that what's really going to separate the people who are going to make this work for them are the people that are actually going to do the work. Just taking a class and listening to me talk for 45 minutes or an hour and 45 minutes or 2 hours, all that's going to do is give you whatever you retain at that moment, but it's actually putting in the work that actually, you know, gains your results. And I think you've been able to see that for 6 years
in what
you've been doing.
So you use LinkedIn, and you know social media is constantly evolving. So what do you see on the horizon for social media? And how it's going to impact people and businesses. Because I think this is just the ground floor to the revolution or the evolution that is going to take place. Would you agree?
I would definitely agree. And I think what we're going to see is you know, they're, in the business world, they talk about, you know, business to business or B2B, and then business to customer or consumer B2C. And what social media is doing is really making that all together, and it's really human to human or H to H. And what I see on the horizon is more video. Instagram just came out with something called IGTV, which is Instagram TV, which is a video platform right within their mobile app. I was just playing around with it today. YouTube, of course, is gigantic. Everybody is making video really to the forefront because people want to be able to not just read something or look at a picture, but actually see something happening. And, you know, one of the things that's been happening more and more in LinkedIn is more talk about how artificial intelligence is going to come into the forefront of that. You know, Microsoft bought LinkedIn for, I believe, $26 billion a little over a year ago. So LinkedIn's not going anywhere. And we know Facebook's not going anywhere with the, you know, billions of users that are there. And with what we saw happen a month and a half ago or so with the privacy stuff, Facebook recognized and they responded right away to that because they know that they're going to be around for a long time and they have to keep people's trust. So I think for business people specifically, they have to find ways to balance the digital space and the face-to-face. And they're going to have to embrace the new technology. You know, as artificial intelligence becomes more to the forefront in LinkedIn, for example, on things like sending posts out through the mobile app, there's a magnet feature that they beta tested about 6 months ago. They've taken it away, but they'll be adding it back where you'll be able to post something or share an article from the mobile app, and you'll be able to click a button and it will send it automatically to people that LinkedIn has figured out would benefit from that article. And so that's where I think we're headed.
I'm a baby boomer, and I tell my young friends that the mode of communication when I was young was the telephone in your house. Today you've got mobile phones, you've got texting, you've got all this social media stuff. And I think a lot of people, or maybe some people from my generation, are, I hope they don't get mad at me, are Neanderthals, where they don't want anything to do with social media. What do you tell people like that?
Well, I agree. I'm right at the end of the baby boomer. So the baby boomer, the end of that was 64. I was born in 63. So I'm right at the edge. And, you know, yeah, I remember when there was a dial phone on the wall. And mm-hmm. and I'm so happy that when I was a teenager, especially in my my dumb years, that no one carried a camera around everywhere they went. Like nowadays, you know, there's a camera. Everyone carries a camera, and things are mm-hmm. are captured. And so what I tell those folks that are my age and above that say, oh yeah, that's not, it doesn't work, is that it does work. And what I would say is from a business perspective, if you're not willing to embrace that to some extent, I mean, you don't have to do everything. I don't do everything. I focus on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook a little bit, and I'm just experimenting now with Instagram. But you have to know what your strengths are. If you're not willing to embrace that, depending on what business sector you're in, it's going to impact your business. There's going to be an impact at some point because social media is not going away in the business world. If anything, it's growing more and more and more. In terms of personal use, if they have kids and if they have grandkids, they're not embracing the technology will be at the peril of them losing connection, I believe, with their kids mm-hmm. and their grandkids. You know, we have a 6-year-old granddaughter. And about a week and a half ago, it was her birthday, and my wife, for the first time, shared text messages with her from her mom's phone. And so that's a big deal. And to be able mm-hmm. to do that and have that level of connection, especially when people are far away, you know, using stuff like Facebook video chat and FaceTime, if someone's not willing to embrace that technology that are our age and they have grandkids, they're going to miss out on that. Because while some of that technology has hurt us, I think far more it has benefited us when, you know, you remember when you have to have a long-distance phone telephone plan, and if somebody lived halfway across the country, you had to call them mm-hmm. after 7 o'clock at night. So you had now we don't worry about any of that. You know, we pick up the phone, we have an instant communication via text, or we can even see each other when we talk on the phone. I think that the benefit of that really far outweighs the perils of that. And I would just say to those people, you have to embrace it.
So tell us a little bit about your company, what you do, and how people can contact you.
Sure. So DigiSales is actually the name of the company, but my website is digitalsalescourse.com. When I first started out, I was really focusing mainly on people that are in sales. So my tagline was help you find leads and generate sales. But what I recognized really quickly was there were a lot of people that were out there that weren't necessarily in a direct sales situation, but that could also benefit from LinkedIn. And so that's when I started telling people that I would help them leverage LinkedIn to build better business relationships. And the way that I do it is two ways. I do it with a live training, which I call the LinkedIn Foundations, which is a 2-hour course that I do. And I teach about profile basics and also about, you know, what a value-centric profile is and how to build one. And then that's in the first hour. And then the second, about 45 minutes, I talk about connections and then how to use LinkedIn to network and find the people that you want to meet. And then I do a Q&A. But then I also have coming out very soon, I just finished it, a 36-video basic course that will be available online. It's 6 lessons that each have 6 videos. And the 6 lessons are, lesson 1 is profile basics, lesson 2 is on connections, lesson 3 is on thought leadership or content creation. Lesson 4 is on networking and LinkedIn. And lesson 5 is LinkedIn and prospecting. And then lesson 6 lays out all the differences between the mobile app version of LinkedIn and the desktop version of LinkedIn, because they are very different. And that'll probably be available to the public August 1st. And folks can go to my website, digitalsalescourse.com. And there's an online course sign up that you can sign up with your email address to be notified when the video course does come out.
So because you do this online, you can network with anybody anywhere, correct?
That is correct. The course would be available worldwide. I also offer profile consultations that I can do via Zoom video chat anywhere in the world. It does get to be a little bit of a problem. Like in Australia, I have a potential client in Australia, and it's a 14-hour time gap, so we're trying to figure out how to work that out. But I can do business with anyone across the globe.
Wow. So, final words, can you share your contact information so that people who are listening to this will be able to call you and say, hey, Bill, I want to become part of your program?
Sure, that would be great. So my mobile number is, of course, the area code 518-598-9625, or they can email me, and it's Bill, which is my name, at teamcc1.com. And I'd say really email is the best way. And then also look for me on LinkedIn and send me a connection request. But make sure if you send me a connection request, make sure you send a personalized invitation telling me the context of why you want to connect with me and that you heard me on Cynthia's show, Focus on Albany. And they can look me up, Bill McCormick, comma, and then the initials BASI. That would be me. They can just send me a connection request. I'd be happy to connect with them on LinkedIn. And that way they can see exactly what it is that I do.
Terrific, Bill. The best of luck, and I hope to see you at other chamber events. And for people who are listening to this, I hope they connect with you at different chamber events. So you've been listening to Bill McCormick of Digital Sales, and if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow Focus on Albany on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you comment about the show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Bill, it's been a pleasure talking with you, and thank you everybody for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for having me.